Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bobby Belt covers the Cowboys and is a part of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Also with DallasCowboys.com. You can follow Bobby on X at BobbyBeltTX. Bobby's been on with us before. He came on with us before the season started to talk about the NFC East and the Cowboys. And here we are, Bobby, 6 weeks into the season. I want to start with this. I just asked, and we did a call segment, do you view this game as code red, meaning must win? And I don't personally, from Washington's standpoint, believe that it is that dire, like a loss dropping us to 3-4 would be like doom for the season. What do you guys see it as?
Dallas is in a weird position because I think a lot of fans right now are just very pessimistic about what they could be. So a lot of people are like, you know, okay, if they lose a game, do we feel like we're losing anything? Like we feel like we're already not going to the playoffs, so what is the loss really? But they also tend to ebb and flow with things. They had the tie with the Packers, which a lot of people felt conflicted about, but a lot of people felt like, hey, you played with the Packers closer than we thought you could. Then they beat the Jets, and you were heading into a game against Carolina where you thought you were going to be able to win that game. So now it's been very low this weekend, the confidence, but it's a very, very capable, very efficient offense. And it's just one of the worst defenses that you are ever going to see. And so those sort of things have people conflicted where I think if they thought it was realistic to be able to improve the defense enough to where your offense could be a threat and win you games that way, then they would be very locked in and very concerned about this game. Right now, I think a lot of people just every week assume the team's going to give up 40 points.
If they had beaten Carolina and came in with a two-game winning streak, and by the way, the tie would have been, you know, a three-game unbeaten streak, would there have been more juice? Would there have been more of a belief that, you know what, maybe we're just so good offensively we can go figure out a way to win 10 games and make the postseason?
Yeah, it probably would have changed things. And look, that offense was really, really good up until the very last possession they had. They go 3-and-out with one of the ugliest possessions you're ever going to see, and then let Carolina milk 6 minutes off the clock and win it. So that had a lot of people feeling really deflated. And that's kind of the position you've put your offense in. They have to be perfect. And not only do they have to be perfect, they have to have the ball last. And that's a tough position to find yourself in, and a frustrating one, I think, for the offense. But it's just, I think everybody feels like you're not going to get anybody off the field. And when you get somebody off the field, when you manage to stop them three plays in a row, when push comes to shove and it's the end of the game and a team says, we got to go for it on fourth down, well, you really don't feel like you're going to be able to stop them four times in a row. And so it has been a major area of concern. It's been the major high point has been the frustrations with defense. It's been the major talking point. We're going to have Jerry Jones on our station in 25 minutes. That'll be the focus, I'm sure, of the questions he gets today from our midday show. So that's the big focus. And if they would have been able to come through against Carolina, then sentiment is probably a little bit different. But I think it just felt so deflating after you saw the Eagles lose the way they did to the Giants. It felt like you kind of let an opportunity slip through your fingers to make even more of a dent in the division early.
By the way, Bobby, did Jerry not talk after the loss to Carolina?
No, and here's the thing. That's a little bit of a unique situation. So he will always talk after a home game. If he doesn't talk after a home game, something is wrong. On the road, he used to talk frequently. He had gone about the last 5 or 6 years where I think he'd done it once or twice, just logistics of trying to get out of there. But then this year, he had talked the first 3 weeks. So everybody kind of anticipated he might talk again the first 3 weeks on the road. So when it came time for him to talk again on the road, people were kind of surprised. We asked him about it earlier this week, and he said that it was just a logistical, according to him, he said it was a logistical nightmare to move from where they were at to get down to the locker area to do it without having a whole bunch of issues, and so he was ready to get out of there. But he said he didn't have a problem, and he came on Tuesday, 2 days later with us, and was very, very upbeat and very positive and seemed completely unshaken by all of it.
Back to the defense. What's the worst part of this horrible defense? And is there any prospect for it improving?
I mean, they very basic coverage concepts they don't seem to understand. I mean, stuff they should have been doing since high school. Cover two, cover three, like really simple zone concepts. They routinely, you are seeing guys who are just wide open because somebody doesn't know where they're supposed to be. So they have said, Brian Schottenheimer, the head coach, has said that that's not so much not understanding how to play. He said they get that. Don't mistake that. He says instead it's about communication. So if there's a shift at the line of scrimmage, if something changes pre-snap that changes your responsibility, they are not always doing a great job communicating amongst each other that, hey, this has changed, this is your responsibility now. And that has led to a ton of wide-open busts in the secondary. So, I mean, you can really pick your poison. The running game has gotten absolutely sliced and diced the last few weeks, and I think a lot of the stuff that Cliff Kingsbury likes to do with, you know, wider offensive line sets and weak side runs and some of the counter blocks and different things like that, that's all going to play into really abusing a Dallas run defense. And so I would say that I anticipate, because of how good Dallas's offense is and how much Dallas's defense has struggled, I would anticipate both teams are scoring over 30 on Sunday.
Yeah, well, that was the other part of the question. What's the number the winning team needs to get to? So what is the number from you?
So I picked the score today of 38-35, and I don't know who to pick, really, other than just to say, I guess, whoever has the ball last. But realistically, and it's ridiculous that that's the way you got to feel about this, but in Dallas, it really does feel like whoever's got the ball at the end of the game will score and win. And so, you know, I think that probably you're going to be looking at a – see, you've got to factor in one or two stops in there somewhere just by dumb luck for the Cowboys. So I would say probably in the range of winning teams going to score 38 to 42 points. I mean, that's the kind of defense that they've played.
Yeah. I mean, the way you described the coverage mishaps is, you know, what we've talked about all season long here as well. They've just given up a ton of explosives. And then they got run on Monday night against the Bears. We're talking to Bobby Belt. He is with 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. One more on the defense. You kind of suggested that, you know, at least Schottenheimer doesn't think it's an Eberflus problem. But do you guys think it's more coaching scheme versus or personnel?
So and this is the great question that everybody's trying to figure out right now. They are putting a circle, a hedge of protection around Matt Eberflus as an organization right now. So Brian Schottenheimer, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, they are all just talking about, nope, not Eberflus's problem. Players got to play better. Communication's got to be better, on and on and on. To me, the question is, if the communication is what the problem is with the busts and not scheme, because like we said, scheme is cover two, cover three. A lot of these concepts everybody runs. So if the problem is communication and those sort of things, all right, at what point does that stop being on just the players, these NFL veterans who have played in schemes without issues like this before, and does it start becoming about what is your coordinator not doing to properly communicate this to the players and to get them to properly communicate it to each other? Is your language overly complicated? Are you not having them look out for the right keys and tells and different things like that? Those are the questions that everybody's trying to figure out right now, is that is communication a player problem and a player responsibility and Matt Eberflus is doing everything he can, or is Matt Eberflus failing to communicate properly? And my position has been that a lot of these Cowboys defenders were on teams in the past few years where they didn't have these same sort of issues, And Matt Eberflus had very public communication issues with players on his way out the door in Chicago. And so to me, it's the burden of proof is on the Cowboys to show us that it's not Matt Eberflus.
All right, let's flip it to the offense. Is this the best that Dak's ever played?
It's way up there. The only thing that there have been a few stretches in his career where he was playing at an absurdly high level. Beginning of 2020, before he broke his ankle, he was every week it seemed like was going to have to throw for 450 yards and was trying his best to do it. And then 2023, the second half of the season where he had that second place MVP candidacy, he was right. Really, really in control then. This is the most in command he's looked. This appears to be the point in his career that a lot of quarterbacks get to where it's like they have the answers to all they got all the answers to the tests. He seems like he just is so comfortable and so in command and understands everything that he's looking at, to where even if he has some physical limitations or he's declining physically in any sort of way, it's being compensated for the fact that he's seen everything two steps ahead of everybody else. And that has been really advantageous for Dell. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that this is, in all likelihood, the best we've seen him play.
The one thing just like observationally from afar, and, you know, obviously we watch all of your games and all of the games of the NFC East teams. I've just always felt with Dak, like there are a couple of times during a game where you're like, what did you see? Why did you throw it there? And it'll end up in a pick or a near pick. Are we getting those throws, those two or three a game this year or not?
No.
Is that fair, first of all?
He really hasn't had any of that. His biggest issue, and you're right, whenever anybody has asked me, because I'm a big Dak Prescott defender, I really believe that he's much better than the general consensus says. I think his biggest problem, though, and the thing that always needs to be acknowledged, is he will occasionally get tunnel vision when he's going through his reads. And so if there's a linebacker just kind of squatting, or there's a safety buzzing or something like that, he's not always seeing them. And so because he gets locked in and he's reading the field, it's like he doesn't read stuff in the periphery all the time, and he'll throw it and it's like, nope, somebody's about to step in front of that. So that's been the one that's burned him the most frequently. It's become less and less of a problem over the years. It's not as consistent of an issue. And then this year to this point, he really hasn't had any of that. Like I said, he just seems to have a good understanding. He's always been one of the better pre-snap quarterbacks. He always reads things at the line of scrimmage really well. It was always post-snap, identifying defenders who were squatting, that was giving him a problem. Yeah. And this year, there really hasn't been a lot of that. I mean, he's had three interceptions, but I think two of them were like balls bounced in the air. And so, I mean, there's not really been a whole lot of turnover-worthy plays, even as he's throwing, you know, almost as many attempts as anybody in the NFL right now.
Well, and how much has it helped that you've actually got a run game this year with Javonte Williams?
Yeah, no doubt about it. That obviously, if you can marry the run and the pass together and complement each other and change the way that you present looks and make those look unified, that's really deceptive and really troubling for the defense. And when you are playing at the level that Dak is, he can lean into those aspects of it and take advantage of it. And I think that it's a credit to Brian Schottenheimer and then a credit to Dak Prescott and the way that they work together that they've had this sort of success.
How does Washington defend this team? CeeDee Lamb's back, right? Sunday, that's the expectation?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. Yep.
So how do you defend Dallas?
You know, they are at a point right now where they are playing at such a high level. I think it is just you've got to kind of pick your poison. So I would think the best opportunity probably is, all right, let's play a too high shelf. Let's try and kind of take some stuff away deep. Let's make him play underneath. And then in the run game, you've really just got to out-physical them at the point of attack at the line of scrimmage. They've had some trouble at times when really aggressive physical teams start coming after them. That's what Carolina did to them to really blow up the run game last week. And so the more you can blow things up and win at the line of scrimmage off the snap in the running game, the more that Dallas's issues start popping up, because Javonte Williams does not have a lot of burst. And so, like, I mean, if he's being forced to avoid tackles right off of the snap and you've got linebackers that are running free, that can cause some issues for you. So, I think really good run defense designs that'll help you get an advantage to beat a blocker to a spot if there's a pulling guard or something like that. That was a big part of what Carolina was able to do last week, was just beat blockers to spots and blow plays up.
Yeah, I mean, when you started with, you know, cover two, I mean, I view this game as, if you're overly aggressive, it's going to happen quickly. I'd rather try to force them to run 10 plays and hope one of them ends in a penalty and you can win in the red zone a couple of times and force field goals. Because I don't see how our defense gets off the field on Sunday if it's on it. I mean, is there any kind of hope from our end that CeeDee Lamb comes back with a little bit of rust and that the combination of he and Pickens back after what Pickens has done here recently is, you know, it takes a little while to figure it out?
I mean, I would think that if I was on the Washington side, I would be looking at the fact that, just knowing what I know about this team and the way that they operate, if CeeDee comes back, and if he's got a little bit of rust and you're trying to work the ball to him, George Pickens has been great here. If George Pickens doesn't get the ball all the time, and it's not even necessarily in a moody way, he just almost kind of seems to space out. And then, like, the route running gets lazier, and the effort isn't always there. And so, if you're trying to work CeeDee back and there's just a little bit of rust and he's not finishing plays, and then George Pickens starts getting a little checked out or is playing a little more lackadaisical, well, now, like, you're running into some issues with the passing game. But we also saw, you know, Dak didn't have problems moving the ball without CeeDee in the game. And, I mean, there were some instances where Pickens wasn't even getting really thrown at. The Jets game is one of them, where Ryan Flannoy, their, you know, fifth receiver who's asked to step in there, goes off for over 100. And he's gotten into the stage of his career where he feels more like it's not him throwing to weapons, it's him throwing against the defense. And that he, if he is just able to surgically go after a defense, all he needs is just somebody to catch a ball, because he's going to put it on the spot for him.
Thanks for doing this, Bobby. Appreciate it. Good to catch up again.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Bobby Belt, everybody, 105.3 FM, The Fan in Dallas. All of our NFL conversation is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. My keys to a win over the Cowboys when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right. Washington beats Dallas if... a couple of keys for a win. We'll have our predictions at the end of the show. Smell test coming up next hour. Ben will join us at 12. Big NFL weekend. We'll go around the NFL card at the end of this hour. So there's, you know, this is one of those games where it's kind of not hard. You know, you identify Dallas as a terrible defensive team. A very, very good offensive team, which is getting healthier this week as an offensive team. And so Washington, on the other hand, is a pretty damn good offensive team and a pretty porous defensive team. Not as good, not as bad defensively as Dallas. Maybe right now not as explosive or as good offensively as the Cowboys. I'll start with this. To me, this is a game in which you've got to win it with your offense, and your offense has to be your best defense. You know, every offensive drive in this game should be treated like getting stopped even once could cost you the game. You know, they may not need to be, but they should think in terms of being a four-down team Sunday against Dallas. And I say they may not need to be in four-down mode because Dallas is easily the worst third-down defensive team in the league. They give up 53.4% on third down. That's nearly 5 percentage points higher than number 31 in the league, Cincinnati. Don't leave the field offensively without points. Look, 10 drives... if you have 10, you pretty much have to score on 8 of them in this game, 7 to 8 of them. You know, of course, it's almost impossible to score on every drive. You'll have a penalty or a drop pass or whatever it is. But you have to be in the mode of offensively, we've got to be the best we can be because it'll be our best defense against the number one offense in the league. Every offensive drive gets treated like it is a game-winning drive, almost. Okay, I'm not suggesting go for it on 4th and 3 from their own 18-yard line, but 4th and 3 from their own 45, from their own at the 50 and plus territory, yeah. Number two. How do you make the offense the best defense? How do you make it so that you don't leave the field with any significant number of punts in the game? This should be like a dealer's choice kind of a game, a pick what makes you happy kind of a game, because Dallas is god-awful everywhere defensively. They can't stop the run, they can't rush the passer, and they can't cover. I think it starts offensively running behind Tunsil and Chris Paul. If that's with Bill, fine. If that's with McNichols, fine. If that's with Rodriguez, we'll see about his health, fine. But you got a big advantage on that left side of the offensive line. Run the football because time of possession, and yeah, you'd love to strike quick. You'd like to have it over quickly. But in this game, you know, a 9-play, 10-play, 12-play drive, churning the clock, don't letting the ball hit the ground on throws, running the football, which you can do. I think it starts with running the football and more in, we're not stretching them out. We're not trying to trick you. We got a mauler at left guard right now and a mauler at left tackle, and they can't stop people up front. Number three, you cannot make mistakes on offense this week. You made three of them against the Bears. And if you'd only made two of them, you probably would have won the game. But that's the Bears. Okay, that's Caleb Williams. It's not Dak Prescott. It's not Dallas. You cannot make mistakes this week. And that means turnovers, penalties, drop passes. You know, the three killers of drives, right? A turnover ends it. A drop pass often ends it or derails it. And a penalty almost always derails it. Even though our team over the life, this very short life of Jaden Daniels, has been awesome for the most part in overcoming long down and distance disadvantages, you don't want to be in that mode because you can't afford to punt too many times in this game. No turnovers, no drops, few penalties, I think is crucial in this game. flip it to the defense. To me, this is a bend, don't break game. This is a, as Bobby Belt said, this is a keep it everything in front of you football game. Because, and by the way, I think that means heavy zone coverage. I don't know how you end up in man coverage a lot against this team. If you end up in man coverage a bunch against Lamb and Pickens, who are you doubling? God forbid you have to bracket both. The tight end will kill you. He leads the league in receptions. They use Turpin as a receiver. He can kill you. They use this guy Flournoy. He can kill you, and they can run the football. I think this is a game in which offensively, whatever it takes to stay on the field, possess the football and score, you think aggressively. Defensively, you think much more conservatively. You bend, you don't break. You make them run 10, 11 play drives. And then I think the next key is red zone offense wins this game. You've got to keep them to 3 for 6, you know, 2 for 6. 3 for 5, whatever it is. You got to get red zone stops and force Aubrey out there for field goals. You know, if you're 3 for 6, that's 21, add 3 field goals, you know, for the other 3 red zone stops, you got them at 30. And you got a shot then, potentially, to get more than that. Doesn't mean they're not going to score from outside the red zone. Understood that, especially with Aubrey. I mean, they're in field goal range when they cross half, you know, midfield for that kicker. But red zone offense, red zone defense will be crucial. The team that ends up plus in red zone ends up winning this game. The team that kicks more field goals loses. The team that scores more touchdowns in the red zone wins. And if Washington does play more bend, don't break, more cover two, keep everything in front of you, you got to tackle well. You cannot play that defense and not get Javonte Williams to the ground, not get Pickens to the ground when he catches one against your zone coverage. CeeDee Lamb, the same thing. And then, you know, over a long drive, maybe Dallas makes a mistake. Maybe you get a phantom penalty, you know, a holding that doesn't really look like a holding. That forces a field goal. Maybe on a condensed field, you can make a stop or two in the red zone. What else do I have here? Kevontae Turpin. I think we all remember what happened last year in FedEx Field. It was FedEx Field last year. No, it was Northwest Field last year. When did it go to Northwest Field? Beginning of last year. This guy is so dangerous with the ball in his hands. And by the way, they're not just getting the ball into his hands on reverses offensively, jet sweeps. They're throwing the football to him. He's a bit more of a target in some of these games. But with the new kickoff rules, Washington had one team last year, one, that they did not do a great job on kickoff returns against. And that was, of course, the Dallas Cowboys in that game at Northwest Field. In that game, Kevontae Turpin had the touchdown. They had the 99-yard kickoff return when Washington had cut it to 20-17. And then they had another kickoff return off that, you know, in onside kick attempt. But Turpin is a dangerous, dangerous kickoff returner. He averaged 44.8 yards per kickoff return. And that doesn't give you a chance to bend, not break, if they're scoring on kickoff returns or if they're returning it, you know, directly into the red zone. He's just an outstanding, dangerous returner. And I love our team's special teams coverage units. We've been excellent. Lastly, look, if both teams somehow perform in the red zone, it could come down to Brandon Aubrey against Matt Gay. Gay can't miss indoors in that stadium. You know, the distance in which the ball travels right now this year because of the juiced ball is already an advantage. Kicking in that stadium indoors, you got to be able to kick a couple 52, 53, 55 yarders. Hopefully, you're not in those positions, but at the end of a half or maybe at the end of the game, the kicker that comes through will be big. I really view this game as offensively, you can't punt much. And defensively, you got to keep everything in front of you and tackle well. And if you do that, then maybe you can get some red zone stops, force field goals, and you can win, you know, a 31-28 kind of a game, a 34-31 kind of a game. Red zone results are going to tell the tale. You know, turnover margin, obviously, you'll go to. The second thing you want to go to if you don't watch the game is red zone and how the teams performed in the red zone. Because a 4 out of 5 day, a 4 out of 4 day, a 5 out of 6 day, yeah, they could be in the red zone 6 times. And we could be as well. That's going to be tough to overcome. Got to get some red zone stops. I like our chances, though. I actually really legitimately like our chances in this game Sunday. We'll have the prediction a little bit later on. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL. Some really good games Sunday, including Washington and Dallas. I do want to tell you, though, quickly about Window Nation. Times are tough right now for some of you in this area, and Window Nation understands that with the government shutdown. If you've been impacted, Window Nation really wants to help. Right now, buy 2 windows, get 2 free, and make no payments and pay no interest for 2 full years. And that's no down payment or no monthly payments until the year 2027, and they're not going to charge you interest. That's real relief and a great way to make your home more comfortable before winter arrives. They've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers right here in the DMV. You can trust Window Nation to take care of you and your home. Don't wait. To get started, you've got to go to windownation.com or 866-90-NATION. Mention my name before Halloween, before October 31st. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. You'll actually find out which windows in your home need to be replaced. Once you get the quote, they're not going to pressure you. They're not going to obligate you to anything. You make the decision. But I promise you, you'll be working with a company that has a great product, has great customer service, 45,000 five-star reviews, number 1 on Forbes' list of window installation companies in America, and you're getting a great deal. WindowNation.com, 866-90-NATION. Window Nation, quality windows, flexible financing, and comfort you can count on.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody. We start off with recapping Thursday night football. Joe Flacco and his newly found team, the Cincinnati Bengals, pull out the win over the Steelers 33-31. Ja'Marr Chase sets a Bengals record for targets and tied for third most targets in a single game in NFL history. Plus, he notches his 13th game with 125 receiving yards and 1 touchdown. Plus, the Commanders, they officially signed Treylon Burks after hosting him for a workout yesterday. The Commanders have also released wide receiver Tay Martin from the practice squad in the corresponding move. To the MLB postseason, the Dodgers, they increased their lead over the Milwaukee Brewers by a score of 3-0, notching another win this time out in L.A. Then the Blue Jays, they get another big win over the Seattle Mariners and even the series at 2 games apiece. To hockey, the Caps, they get going tonight against the Minnesota Wild as the boys in red debut their new third jerseys with the Screaming Eagle on the front and new numbers on the back. Logan Thompson expected to get the start. Puck drops 7 p.m. Pregame starts at 6:45 on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plant area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All righty, Kevin. We open across the pond for the final London game of this season. This time, Sean McVay and his Rams head to London after spending a week in Baltimore and hosting their practices at Camden Yards. The Jags are no stranger to playing on the wrong side of the Atlantic, having played by far in the most overseas contests with 13 already under their belt. The Rams lead the NFC in scoring defense and are tied for second in sacks. Jacksonville's defense leads the NFL in interceptions. Kickoff, 9:30 a.m. Head referee, Adrian Hill. Line currently Rams -3. Over-under is 44.5. Two good teams getting after it early, Kev. Which one comes out ahead?
Internationally?
13 games internationally.
I know, but what's their record in their international
7-6. They're 7-6.
Just above
500, yes.
7-6. You know, this is a really good game. Unlike the game that we had last week with the Jets involved, although Denver is very good. I think this is an interesting game because I mentioned this to you when we did our buy and sell the other day, or when we did power rankings yesterday, I forget. But the Rams, I look at the Rams and I'm like, this should be an NFC championship contender. And I think they are. By the way, Puka Nacua is out, right, for
correct.
The game?
Yeah, he is out.
They're 3-3 at halftime with this terrible Ravens team on Sunday. They lose to the 49ers on Thursday Night Football when the 49ers had basically the JV suited up for the game. They should have lost to the Colts if Mitchell doesn't, you know, bobble the ball and have it go through the back of the end zone. They also should have beaten the Eagles, I guess, you know, on a certain level. There's something that's just missing with the Rams right now. Jacksonville's obviously coming off the high of beating the Chiefs, and then they did not look good in their loss against Seattle. This is an important game for both teams. Should be a hell of a game. I don't like it either way. Do you? I don't have a feel for this game either way. I love being able to bet the Sunday morning game. It's a lot of fun.
Of course.
But I don't really have a strong feeling one way or the other.
Yeah, with how good these defenses are, I might lean the under. But aside from that, that's really the only side I would have kind of a lean on. But
what is it that we would lean under with two quarterbacks like Stafford and Lawrence and the weapons that they have? And I know Nacua is out, okay? And that's a big out. I mean,
big
this guy...
loss.
Two catches last week in the game that he got injured against Baltimore. And that might explain some of... They scored 17 against the Ravens a week after the Texans won in there and hung 44 on them. And they needed turnovers to get their touchdowns. This should be an interesting game, an important game for both teams. You know, the Jags want to keep pace with Indy. Good Sunday morning game in London. I don't love the game. I'm not going to give you a winner. I guess I would lean Stafford in a situation like this, but just should be a really fun game to watch. What's next?
Next one, much less fun game to watch. We go to the Windy City of Chicago where Spencer Rattler and the Saints take on Ben Johnson's Bears. The Bears currently riding a three-game win streak in spite of Caleb Williams being the lowest graded player in last week's contest, but the Saints have given up 25 or more in five of their first six games. On the other side of the ball, though, Spencer Rattler has looked competent with a passer rating of 90 or higher in his last two starts. Kickoff 1 p.m., head referee Scott Novak. Current line, Bears favored by 4.5 or 5 points, depending on where you get it. Over-under, 46.5. Does Chicago notch another 25 in a victory, or can the Saints capitalize after such an emotional win for Chicago?
So, I've had the Saints two straight weeks, you know, in the smell test. Had them against the Giants, and they got it done. Had them last week against the Patriots, and they certainly had an opportunity to get it done. I think they're going to be in the smell test next hour against the Bears, getting 4.5. Look, Spencer Rattler's played at a pretty high level, and it's been more kind of mistakes that have derailed some of their drives and some of their effort. I actually think they're decent defensively, too, and the Bears are coming off the high of Monday night. This is a setup game for sure. Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator in Chicago, remember, coached the Saints, so there may be some advantage there, but I like the Saints to go into Chicago and have a chance to win that game. I think this is a close game, and the Saints have been just like every team in the NFC. We talked about this the other day. There is not one terrible team in the NFC right now. The worst record teams have been the peskiest, the feistiest in recent weeks. The Giants, the Saints, the Panthers, who have gotten it back to 500. You know, the Cardinals, even though they're 2-4, you know, the games they should have beaten or had a chance to beat Indy with Brissett. You know, they bungled the Titans game. They lost on a walk-off to the Seahawks. They lost on a walk-off to the 49ers. It's crazy about the NFC. You look, and it's like, doesn't matter what the record of the team is, these teams are all capable of playing very close games. I think this is going to be another one. And I think part of it will be Bears in kind of letdown mode after Monday night. But the Saints have played well recently. I think this is a tight game. I like the Saints, certainly plus the number. What's next?
Next up, we got the Dolphins. They leave the hot Florida sun for Cleveland, where the weather is going to be expected to be worse than it was on Monday night for Washington. The wind gusts expected to reach 50 to 60 miles an hour.
What?
And the National Weather Service says it's keeping an eye on the storm as it may end up getting stronger as we lead up to 1 o'clock kickoff. Head referee Sean Hockley, lying currently Browns minus 2.5, over under is 37.5. Who's getting out of the mud in this one?
Hold on for a second. We have a big storm coming through the Midwest?
Yes. National Weather Service.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It was making the rounds yesterday on Twitter, so I made sure to write everything down for this one.
Yeah. Well, I gave you kind of my bold prediction for the week when, you know, I said that this might be it for Mike McDaniel. They are an underdog against the Cleveland Browns. If they lose this game, I think we wake up Monday morning and the big story is that Mike McDaniel has been let go. I think it's getting old there with him. And the quarterback going off on the team earlier this week, it just seems like, look, it seems like Mike McDaniel's never been a guy that's had control over his locker room. It's not the kind of coach he is. I mean, he shows up in flip-flops and, you know, old school Birdwell breeches. Did you see that from, like, you know, the summer? Birdwell breeches, a swimsuit from way back in the 80s. If you were hanging down at the beach, I mean, the guy is a wingnut, and I think that his time is up. And if they lose to Cleveland, I think it happens on Monday. I think Cleveland wins this game. You know who actually has played okay since taking over is Dillon Gabriel. They're not scoring points. They certainly had a chance to beat Minnesota, a legit chance. By the way, I did notice last week that Judkins, after having a massive game in the Tottenham game against Minnesota, went for a buck 10, and he had played really well. Barely got, you know, 10 touches in the loss at Pittsburgh. He's the key. If they can run the football, Gabriel will do enough, and Cleveland will win this football game. And it'll be it for Mike McDaniel.
All right, next up, we head to the black hole of Allegiant Stadium, where the Raiders await a Chiefs squad that is beginning to find their stride. Rashee Rice making his return from suspension, and the other Chiefs wideouts beginning to find the end zone as Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy both cross the plane versus Detroit. The Raiders coming off a 20-10 win versus the Titans, but Geno Smith leads the league in interceptions, and the Chiefs rank top 15 in sack percentage, so they can heat up the pocket pretty quick. Kickoff, 1 p.m., head ref Cleet Blakeman. Current line, Chiefs minus 11.5 or 12, again, depending on where you get it, over under 45.5. Do the Chiefs continue to climb out of their 0-2 hole, or can the Raiders shock Las Vegas itself, Kev?
You know, it just seems like Chiefs-Raiders games, you know, they always end up being closer than you think, even with big point spreads. Like, I'm looking through, like, last year's games, the Raiders lost 19-17 at Arrowhead. They lost 27-20 in Vegas. The year before that, it was 20-14, 31-17. It just seems like the Raiders always kind of have the Chiefs number. But I don't know, man. To me, I thought I saw Sunday night against Detroit a Chiefs team that is on the verge of exploding and on the verge of becoming the best team in the AFC. They're 3-3. They're getting healthier. They've got speed. Mahomes is playing at a high level. As long as they stay healthy, I actually think Kansas City is going to represent the AFC once again in the Super Bowl. And I think as a 12.5-point favorite, this is going to be one of those that isn't close. I like the Chiefs big Sunday.
Ooh, big. Big? Like cover the number big?
Yeah, believe it or not, the action's a bit split on this one, so there's not going to be a smell test pick involved in this one. If anything, the number's so big that people are playing the dog. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I could easily see this being a 31-10 game.
Interesting. All righty. Next one. Philadelphia Eagles are flying north to go up against the Minnesota Vikings. Not 100% sure who the starting quarterback is going to be in this one for Minnesota, as J.J. McCarthy is still listed as a limited participant in practice, still working back from that high ankle sprain he suffered a few weeks ago. Carson Wentz also on the injury report, but with a shoulder. He's also been listed as a full participant, so leaning towards Wentz getting the revenge start versus Philly. But speaking of the Birds, they're coming off that mini-bye after losing to the Giants on Thursday Night Football, but the Vikings defense is just as good, if not better, than New York, and they force teams to run the ball. Saquon Barkley having a little bit of a slow start of the year. Through the first six games, kickoff 1 p.m., head referee Bill Vinovich. Current line, Eagles minus 1.5 or 2, again, depending on where you get it, over under 43.5. Can the Eagles get back to pounding the rock, or does Carson get his revenge on Philly?
Well, the Eagles would much prefer to see J.J. McCarthy at this point.
I'm sure.
I mean, with the way he played before he got injured, it's way too early to feel like J.J. McCarthy was a bad pick. He was the least favorite of the quarterbacks for me coming out. I didn't see how he was a first-round pick, but there's plenty of time for him to turn it around. He's only played in like 3 football games. But that's part of the problem, is his lack of availability, and that's going to be a concern for Minnesota. I bet you if they knew he was going to get hurt again, Sam Darnold would be the quarterback right now in Minnesota. With that said, here's the key for Philadelphia. They have all of a sudden started giving up yards on the ground. It's like, you know, the Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Zach Bond, etc., they're not stopping the run. J.K. Dobbins had a good game, and of course Cam Scataboo had a really good game a week ago Thursday night. And Jordan Mason is good. And they can run the football. So I think the key in this game is put the pressure on Wentz or on McCarthy and stop the run, Philadelphia. If they don't stop the run, this is going to be another game similar to the Giant and the Denver game where they could easily lose to Minnesota. It's on the road. You know that Brian Flores is creative and scheming up a defense. I think this is a close game. I don't like the game either way, but to me the whole key is Jordan Mason and Minnesota's ability to run the football against a team that's been giving up yards on the ground recently. If Philadelphia tightens that up, they win. If they are run on, they lose. Next.
All right, to East Rutherford, where the 3-3 Panthers take on the winless Jets. Carolina coming off a massive home win against Cowboys, where Bryce Young recorded his highest passer rating of the season, 114.8. Justin Fields is the only quarterback with 100-plus pass attempts to not have thrown an interception thus far this season, but I think that's because his OC doesn't really trust him to throw the ball enough. When 46 of those 100 attempts came against the Dallas game, that was long over for the end of the third quarter. Kickoff 1 p.m., head referee Brad Rogers. Panthers currently favored by 1.5. Over under is 43.5. Do the Panthers get above 500, or can the Jets finally secure their first win of the season?
I don't know. Next game.
All right.
I think the Panthers actually are a little bit underrated, but I think this is a bit of a trap game for the Carolina Panthers. That seems insane to say, but they got the big win over Dallas. The Jets looked hideous, and yet they covered last week. I mean, Justin Fields certainly, was the opposite of what we saw last night. It was one of the worst quarterback games I think I've ever seen. I think Carolina should win this game, but God, with the line is so short. They are begging you to take Carolina. Yeah, the Jets will probably be in the smell test again. I don't know how they do it, but should be an ugly, 17-16 kind of game one way or the other. Yeah. What else?
All right, to Tennessee for the Mike Vrabel homecoming game the week after Tennessee fires his successor. It's kind of a weird vibes game to me, Kev. You never really know how a team responds to after their head coach getting fired, but the Patriots look like a very solid football team. Drake May continues his stellar start to the year at leading all quarterbacks in his draft class in EPA per play. But as I said before, you never really know how a team responds to losing their head coach. Kickoff 1 p.m., head referee Craig Rolstad. Current line, Patriots -7, over-unders 42.5. How do we think this one goes?
This is the one that'll make no sense to anybody. Somehow the Titans will hang in there with Mike McCoy as the interim head coach. Drake May's been on a roll. They're running the football. They're playing defense. They're well coached. I think everybody's got Patriots 35-10 in this one. Mm-hmm. Somehow the Titans will keep it within a touchdown. Patriots will win, but it'll be a closer game than most think.
All right, next one. Another big test for Jackson Dart and the Giants as they take on one of the best defenses in the National Football League in the Denver Broncos, who currently lead the NFL in sacks with 30 already through six games. But Bo Nix and the Denver
30
offense.
30 sacks. Wow, in six games.
Insane.
That pass rush is awesome to watch. Yeah, go ahead. Finish.
Sorry. Bo Nix and the Denver offense have been playing down to their competition, only putting up 13 in a tight one versus New York last weekend. This is a 4:05 kickoff. Head referee is Brad Allen. Current line, Broncos -7, over-unders 40.5. Can Jackson Dart continue to build off his 2-1 starter? Do the Broncos give him a welcome to the NFL moment here?
This might be a welcome to the NFL moment here. Denver's defense is legit nasty. You know, they're coming back. No bye week after the London game for them or the Jets. This, is at home. Giants are well rested. I mean, I could see the Giants competing in this game, and I think the Giants are excellent defensively. But this is really an awesome defense. We're going to get to see it Thanksgiving weekend on Sunday Night Football. The matchup, I want to see who the hell covers Cortland Sutton. He's been awesome this year, except last week. This is going to be a close game, but I think it's a game the Giants get banged up in. Denver's defense prevails in a low-scoring game. They win.
All right, next up, Danny Dimes and the Colts head west to Tinseltown.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, take on Justin Herbert and the LA Chargers battling the injury bug with 10 guys listed as DNPs or limited participants in practice on Thursday. Colts still rolling with their first 5-1 start since 2009, and they've taken the lead in the scoring offense with 32.5 points per game in Big 2025. Kickoff at 4:05, Alan Eck, head referee. Chargers favored by 1.5, over-under is 48.5. I like the Colts here, but my numbers say 91% of the money's on the Colts. But your
it's
numbers,
not that much.
Yeah, I was gonna say, your numbers say different.
Much.
I believe yours.
But I will just tell you that to me, the key in this game is that the one thing the Colts haven't done well, and they've done almost everything well this year, they have not been a great pass rush team. They're 29th in pass rush win rate in the league. And that's where teams have really hurt the Chargers recently with all of their offensive linemen out. You know, no Slater, no Joe Alt, etc. And teams have really battered Justin Herbert. They won last week. They barely beat the Dolphins. We know how our bad defense roughed him up. The Giant defense roughed him up. And it's not what the Colts do. It's not really what they do. And Jacoby Brissett had a big day against that Colts defense. This should be a highly entertaining game. Too bad it's in that window with our game in the 4:00 window. Big game, by the way, for everybody in the AFC that doesn't want to see the Colts run away with the AFC South and end up with like some unbelievable record. This should be a hell of a football game. That's not the right action. I think more action is on Indy than on the Chargers, but not at 91%. This should be a hell of a game. I mean, I think the key is, does Herbert, for the first time in a while, have time to throw the football? Because it's not what the Colts do well, although they could get healthy this week. Wish I could watch this game sort of live, start to finish. This comes down to a field goal either way. What do you got next?
Next one, another sneakily injury-riddled team. The Arizona Cardinals host the Green Bay Packers. Not sure who will be getting the start here. But Jacoby Brissett looked pretty solid last week in a 31-27 loss to the Colts. Packers coming to this one 3-1-1 after handling Cincinnati and are looking to retain their spot atop the AFC North. Kickoff 4:25. Alex Moore, the white hat for this one. Packers favored by 6.5. Over-under is 44.5. Think the Cardinals can put together a solid performance, or do the Packers continue their ascent?
Yeah, you know who's playing pretty well is that corner from Michigan that everybody talked about before the draft. Will Johnson. The Cardinals have been right there. They're better off, honestly, with Brissett rather than, 5'4", Kyler Murray playing quarterback. I think this is a bit of a spot that would not surprise me if the Cardinals have a chance to win the game. Green Bay really hasn't been that impressive since destroying our team on Thursday night. They had the 40-40 game against the Cowboys. They lost to the Browns. And Flacco lit them up in the second half of that game. And they were one defensive stop, Cincinnati was, away from potentially pulling off a stunner as a 14-point dog last week. I don't think Green Bay's right now, overall. I think Arizona's got a shot to keep this one close. I think this is another game that comes down to the final possession of the game.
All right, final matchup. Sunday Night Football between the Falcons and the Niners. Mac Jones has been upgraded to a full participant in practice this week, while Brock Purdy continues to be limited due to a toe injury. The Falcons coming off their big 24-14 Monday night win versus the Bills, where they've seemingly announced their arrival onto the scene of the NFC. Kickoff at 8:20, head referee Ron Torbert. 49ers currently favored by 2 points. Over-under is 47. Raheem Morris versus Kyle Shanahan. Kev, who comes out on top of this one?
Well, it's even, better than that. I mean, they have obviously a long relationship, Raheem and Kyle do. Jeff Ulbrich worked with Saleh in New York for the Jets. Ulbrich is the 49ers defensive coordinator. This is a matchup of what you could say are the two best running backs in the league right now in Christian McCaffrey and Bijan Robinson. Robinson's got 822 scrimmage yards. McCaffrey's got 780. They apparently are good friends. They work out together in the offseason. Kittle might be back for the 49ers. This is a great Sunday night game and a very important Sunday night game in the NFC. I give the Falcons a very good chance to go in and beat the 49ers. I think the Falcons are for real this year, mostly because they are so improved defensively. They were not a good defensive team last year. They are a much better defensive team. And Bijan Robinson, in all honesty, might be the best offensive player in the league. We saw it up close. Everybody else is getting a load of it now. He is great. And Drake London has turned into a legitimate upper-tier wide receiver, and Penix Jr. is playing well. Really, really good football game. 49ers need it. They need to get this one no matter who's playing quarterback. I think this is a Falcons upset on the road, something like 27-24 Sunday night. And that puts the 49ers at that point having lost two in a row to NFC really good teams, both in the South, Tampa and Atlanta. All right, let's get to Ben Standig. We'll hold off on the Monday night games until Monday. There are two of them again. By the way, both really good games on Monday night. Ben Standig, next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.